Juno Afternoon is made possible in part by Hanson Gress, delivering IT support to local businesses for more than 15 years. I'm your host, Shelley Delaney, and my next guest is Brad Samuels, architect and presenter for Alaska Design Forum tonight. And also here is Christine Carpenter, representing the Alaska Design Forum. Welcome, both of you.
Thanks for having us.
Oh, thanks so much for being here. Christine, let's start with you. Would you just tell us a bit about Alaska Design Forum and your upcoming lecture series?
Sure. We're in the middle of our 2019 lecture series with the Alaska Design Forum. My elevator pitch for the Design Forum is we are a group of designers, volunteer-based organization, who brings up world-famous, world-class designers from all over the world to present to our three big cities, Anchorage, Fairbanks, and Juneau, in order to further design discussions in and around Alaska.
That's a good pitch, but I just feel like just the caliber of people that you've brought up, like I get to interview most of them since they're on Wednesdays, and I'm just so impressed. Every person that I meet is just so like creative and intelligent and innovative, and Brad, I'm sure you're no exception.
Try to live up to it.
And Christine, just before we move on, what's your role in the Alaska Design Forum?
I'm a board member, and I'm currently the Juno chair, also the only Juno board member. So if anybody is interested in helping with the Design Forum, please contact me. You can find out more about the Alaska Design Forum at alaskadesignforum.org.
All right.
Thank you. My shameless plug.
It's not shameful at all. Okay, Brad Samuels, I understand that you head the research division at Situ Studio in New York City, and you advise on schematic design and design development for their projects. What is Situ?
So Situ is an unconventional architecture practice that uses design, research, and fabrication for creative and social impact. We're a little unusual as an architecture firm because we have both a big fabrication facility and a design studio. And the kind of thinking there is that, yeah, we can build things that we've designed and we can deliver the final product, but more importantly, fabrication and making for us is sort of a generative part of the creative process. So a traditional practice might be more likely to design something and sketch something and build a model and then prototype it later. For us, we like to have the opportunity to build things at the very beginning. And so having a fabrication practice and a design practice together is set up for that reason.
Oh, that is interesting. What are some projects that you're working on now or past projects that kind of define this, what you do?
Yeah, sure. So most recently, we've been working on a project for the Brooklyn Public Library, which is, I think, a good example because it combines research, design, and fabrication into one project. And that was basically the mandate was to think about, you know, how branch libraries can better accommodate all of the kind of programming that's happening across the system. And so what was interesting is when we started this project, you know, people are using libraries more than ever in New York City, but the buildings were built in the teens and 20s. And so the idea of what a library was supposed to do is kind of solidified in an architecture which is out of date. But the programs that are happening inside them are super diverse. And so our challenge was how do you take an audit and get an understanding of all the programmings that are happening all over the borough. So everything from, you know, podcast classes to robotics classes to blood drives to fashion shows, like, you know, mind-blowing amount of different things happening. And then use that kind of audit and that list of programs to design spaces that better serve what's already happening there. And then, you know, ultimately be able to fabricate and prototype components that are flexible enough to take, you know, you may only have 1,000 square feet, which has to accommodate four or five different types of programs in one day. So have a high degree of flexibility that allows you to reconfigure the space so you can do things, you know, for 2 hours and change the space radically and accommodate different programming. So that's a project which really leverages all parts of our practice.
Wow, that's a very good example. So what is it that brought you to Alaska? What did you come here to talk about?
Well, the theme, as conceived by the Alaska Design Forum, is polar shift, and I've interpreted that broadly. But I think this idea of, you know, the radical shifts that are happening across industries, certainly, you know, politically, there's a lot of things shifting. We experience shifts in the discipline of architecture that are both kind of exciting and scary at the same time. We're very committed to this idea of interdisciplinary practice. So, no, I wouldn't say we're traditional architects, but we have on staff. We have architects on staff, but we also have computer scientists. We have urban planners. We have furniture makers. And so this idea that, you know, the sum is greater than the parts, and we can have a kind of practice that involves many different disciplines and sort of expand the idea of what we think about as architecture. So that's kind of how I've interpreted this theme of polar shifts and what I plan to talk about this evening.
Christine, what did the design forum have in mind with polar shift?
So we obviously try to pick themes that can be very broadly interpreted in order for us to be able to allow our lecturers to speak about what they're comfortable speaking about, and also they can apply it to all the different crafts that people do. I think that the conversation of polar shift erupted out of living in Alaska in a place with climate change really right in your face, with the glaciers receding, and with this summer is a perfect example of it being incredibly warm outside and very dry. We are experiencing a huge polar shift of what our environment looks like. But we're also in the middle of this information age that rapidly things are becoming more and more available to us. Technologies are becoming more available to us. And we're at an unprecedented rate of change, both from an environmental standpoint and also from a design standpoint. How do we address all of those different solutions? And so I think that's pretty much where we arrived at, was how can designers address our physical and our psychological rapid change that is happening in the world around us, especially in Alaska.
Mm. Brad, going back to you, does your group, your studio, or your field, you mentioned fabricating a space that accommodates for a lot of things going on inside of it. But what about going on outside of it?
Yes, that's a good question. Another project we did recently was for the Brooklyn Museum of Art. And what was interesting in that case was that they had a very successful public space outside. Like, urbanistically, the plaza in front of the museum was activated, vibrant. The community loved it. But what was interesting was that that vibrancy and that activity never actually made its way into the museum. And it wasn't because the doors were locked. It wasn't because they weren't welcome or invited. It was just something about the sort of what seemed inaccessible about the institution and the kind of art museum, the kind of ivory tower that it represented. Mm. And so our challenge in that case was to think about how to begin to dissolve that boundary between successful public space on the exterior and bring that community into the museum and really offer it as a resource that's better utilized. And so that was a project about sort of civic space, public space, that sort of sought to mitigate the distinctions between exterior and interior. So we work on the scale of cities as well as the scale of buildings.
All right. Well, Christine, the presentation, Brad's presentation, is tonight. Would you share some of the details about it? I noticed there's been a change of venue.
There has been a change of venue. This time we're going to do the lecture at 6 o'clock at the Hangar Ballroom. I hope that people will come, and it's a lively space with some light in it, and also we will be serving cocktails. It'll be a cash bar there for people, and hopefully people will feel comfortable with a cocktail or two in them to have some open discussion too about design and Alaska, too. I hope you want to hear about Alaska.
Definitely.
Yeah, Brad, we mentioned before we got on the air, this is your last stop. You've already been to Anchorage and Fairbanks.
Yeah.
Hopefully your talk was pretty well received in those places.
Yeah, I think so. I had some great conversations afterwards, and I've never given 3 talks in 3 days in 3 cities before, so this has been interesting. The talk's evolved a bit, so yeah, this is the last stop.
And he's going back to Anchorage tomorrow, too.
Oh, really? Oh, they didn't get enough of you, huh?
Yeah, a couple hours there and then home.
That's great. I'm really glad that we sort of rolled out the red carpet for you. Anything else you want to share with our listeners ahead of your talk tonight?
I'll also mention that there's, because of the kind of multifaceted aspect of our practice, there's also work we do in human rights and social impact. And so I'll be talking also a bit about some of the work we're doing leveraging spatial analysis and sort of visualization tools to address issues like climate change. And so we'll span everything from fabrication to architecture, to human rights issues. So it'll be an expansive topic.
And where can people go to see some examples of your work or find out more about you and C2 Studio?
Yeah, so they can check out our website at c2.nyc, and all of our work is up there.
All right. And there's a website for the Alaska Design Forum. You said it once. Say it again.
Yes, alaskadesignforum.org. And I forgot to mention that tickets are $15. Students with an ID get in for $5, and anyone under 18 is free.
Terrific. So it's all ages.
All ages.
Okay, great. Well, thank you both very much for being here today. Is there anything I missed? Anything you want to add?
No, it's not raining anymore, so you should come outside.
All right. 6 o'clock at the Hangar Ballroom. You'll get to listen to Brad Samuels from Situ Studio in New York City and interact with him and ask him all your questions. Thanks so much for being here today, both of you.
Thanks, Shelley.
You.